So tonight we're going to be in Revelation chapter 16, and this is the seventh bowl judgment. We had gone through last week the six bowls of judgment, and this is the seventh bowl, which is really the final bowl of God's wrath that's being poured out. And we're going to begin with Revelation 16 and verse 17. We're also going to talk and touch a little bit on the great harlot or the great prostitute. So Revelation 16 and verse 17, it says, "The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven." So there's a temple in heaven. Amen. There's a mercy seat there. There's the throne, right? There's the glassy sea. Everything that was in type on the earth, as God instructed Moses, is a type of what's in heaven. All right. And from the throne saying, "It is done." What does "it is done" mean? It means that the wrath of God is finished now. There will be no further judgments. And this is the final of a total of 21 judgments. In verse 18, it says, "And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Then every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceeding great." So this seventh bowl judgment produces thunders and lightnings and a huge devastating earthquake that the entire earth is going to shake. And then again in verse 18, it says, "There were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth." Now, the prophet Haggai also spoke of this time as well in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 6. "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts." Who is the desire of all nations? So this final judgment, some believe this is referring to Jerusalem, but I believe it's actually talking about Babylon. And I want to focus a little bit on that tonight. And it's going to be divided into three parts, and it's going to cause the fall of major cities throughout the earth. In verse 19, it says, "Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath." You see, sometimes people think because nothing's happening that God's just ignoring it and that I'm going to get away with it. And sometimes the wicked are emboldened because they seem to get away with all kinds of wickedness without any, you know, consequences, at least not right away. So this Babylon is going to drink the cup of God's wrath because God hasn't forgotten about the idolatry and their cruelty. And, you know, there is this worldwide, you see it, it's becoming more and more obvious in your face, the satanic cabal, the one world order. Whatever you want to call it, will eventually be brought to utter ruin. It's not going to be forever, amen? And the Lord was going to reign over all the earth. But here it talks about even the mountains and the islands disappear. And it must have been through the hail and there must be these devastating tsunamis that are going to result, that are actually going to submerge, you know, many of these mountains and islands. And the hailstones that fall in modern terms would be about 86 to 120 pounds each. Can you imagine a hailstone? 86 to 120 pounds. And they're going to pulverize everything in their path. And in verse 20, "Then every island fled away and the mountains were not found. And the great hail from heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since that plague was exceeding great." Now, Jesus had given opportunity. As we've been reading through this, the Lord has been long-suffering. He's been given opportunity after opportunity for people to repent. And instead of repenting, people cursed God, and they refused his great love. You know, it's because of God's mercy that we're saved. It's because God is not willing that anyone should perish. You know, God loves people. Amen. But God has set a time when this extension of his grace will be over. And it'll be time for judgment. But God has given people many opportunities. I don't believe anybody's going to be able to say that you didn't warn me. Because things are going to continue to escalate. And the Lord is raising up, even in this generation, more and more voices that are speaking as people are becoming more and more desperate. They're starting to look for answers. They're starting to wonder, what can I do? And we're praying, Lord, that you'll get a hold of people to the degree that, as in the early church, when the fear of God came upon all the people, that they begin to cry out and say, what must we do? What must I do, right, to be saved? But these are going to spend eternity, those who refuse the love of Christ, in the lake of fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, as you know, Jesus suffered for the sins of all mankind. God demonstrated his love for us at the cross. Amen. When he hung on that cross, and the way of salvation has been opened for all who would turn to him for mercy. Hallelujah. In John 3:19, Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, and because their deeds were evil. Right? And for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But verse 21 says, but he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. As children of the light, we abide, we walk in the light. Amen. There's no secrets with God. We know that. We walk, amen, as an open book before the Almighty God, our Father. Amen. And so it's good to have a clean conscience, a clear conscience, and a clean heart, and to have everything set in order. Amen. And thank God for the Holy Spirit that he's given to us that convicts us, amen, of our sins, so that we will, amen, turn to the Lord in repentance. And now, and we're going to shift into chapter 17, and this is talking about this great harlot. In verse 1, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Now, many waters speaks of humanity. And we know that because in verse 17 it says, then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So it talks about this harlot that's sitting on a sea of humanity. Okay? And so this is really speaking of a spiritual fornication with the world or the cosmos. It's talking about a one-world religion. Political leaders are going to mingle with false religion. We see that even coming out of Rome and becoming a political and a religious system. And everything seems to be mixing into that around the world, all the different religions in the ecumenical movement. And it could be very well referring to this very thing, this ecumenical movement, as gaining steam, you know. And but we see here false religions and also a counterfeit Christianity. Amen. Embracing the world system. And guys, this is not just a Catholic thing. It's a Protestant Catholic. I mean, it's not about denominational labels. It's about individuals who make choices to align themselves with the spirit of Antichrist. Because the enemy wants to appease the flesh, and he wants to give you permission to indulge your sin nature, which is appealing to the natural man who's fallen, amen, and who is separated from God. But you and I who are in the Lord understand, you know, that that is really the way of death. But the Lord leads us in the way of truth and life. So the intoxication, it talks about that, you know, the kings of the earth in verse 2 committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And so you think about the intoxication, it's like a delusion. Have you noticed that people are getting more and more insane, and it seems like they're doing such irrational things that don't seem to make any sense? And you know, and if it wasn't for the grace of God, you know, we would also be just as confused right now. And that's why we need God, amen. We need the help of the Lord to keep us in soundness of mind through these times. Amen. Because if you think about it, if your hope is only in this world, you know, things aren't looking very good, are they? But it speaks of delusion that people have come under. And really, this delusion is because of unrepentance, an unrepentant heart. When God has given them opportunity, they continue to resist the Spirit of the Lord, and eventually God gives people over to what they want. In 1 John 2:15, very familiar passage here, do not love, the same word cosmos, really is that system, the world system, that is in rebellion to the reign of Christ. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot be committing spiritual adultery by cheating on God, by having other gods before him. So it says, though, in 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the cosmos, world, what? Does not know us because it did not know him. So don't try to fit in because you won't. Don't try to accommodate. Don't try to conform because you won't. Amen? And the enemy is a bully, and he will bully you as long as you allow him to. But you need to understand whose team you're on, and who's in you, and who's with you. And greater is the one that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. So we are not to be in any way intimidated by our adversaries. Because the Lord is with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? So, John 15:19, Jesus said, if you were of the world, speaking to disciples, right, the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If you and I are in Christ today, amen, we're not part of this system anymore. Amen. We're basically have turncoated on the devil. We're under new ownership now, right? A new master we serve. Hallelujah. So the enemy doesn't like that. That's why he does. He comes after us, doesn't he, at times, right? But praise God that we have the victory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. By the power of the blood and the word of our testimony. It's very important that we put words, amen, into flight. Because Jesus used the word, amen, to send the enemy off. So we speak the truth. Hallelujah. And the word of God is the what? The sword, right? It's our offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. James chapter 4, verse 4, he said, adulterers and adulteresses. He's talking about spiritual adultery, of course. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God, to be an enemy of God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And again, you can't serve two masters. We have to make up our mind who we're going to serve, commit ourselves fully to him. And I don't know about you, but the Lord is the only way, because we know who wins. And I'm going to hang out with the winner, amen, the overcomer. Hallelujah. Wherever you lead me, Lord. We just pray, Lord, you make clear the path for each one of us in our lives, Lord, that we might be in step with you. Hallelujah. So this harlot that sits on the waters of humanity is symbolic of the one world religion. And it includes counterfeit Christianity, again, mixed with the world. And have we not been seeing that, you know, more and more prevalent today, where there are even churches that are compromising this Chrislam and all the other, you know, mixtures of things and worldliness and even sensuality mixed in with their spirituality. And, you know, and God's going to have a bride. He's going to have a church that's pure. He has a people. He has a holy remnant. But we are responsible, Lord, to keep ourselves, amen, spotted from this world, unspotted from this world. And that's only possible by the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. And we rely upon the grace of God to overcome the world and faith in God's promise, amen, that he will see us through. He will help us. He won't leave us. And that his grace is sufficient for us. and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So there's no excuse because the Lord is with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the world needs to see an example of someone walking with Jesus. Amen. And I've shared this with you before, but and once in a while I get to talk to the young people, you know, that are in school still and ask them how things are. And they shake their head and say it's not very good. And most of their friends, you know, or their kids that they know, there's hardly any of them that are really serving the Lord or really following the Lord. So they're surrounded with this. And yet what God wants to do is he wants to raise up young people, fill them with this Holy Spirit, amen, and empower them and equip them with the word of God and the word of their testimony to go into these places and be the salt and be the light and be the influencers, amen, over their peers and not to be the tail, but to be the head. Hallelujah. To be leaders, amen, in their communities. And so we need to empower and enable our children to and encourage them to step up and stand up for Jesus. Because I've discovered it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. If I stand up for Jesus, he's going to stand up in me. Amen. And he'll give me a confident assurance that I can speak the truth. Even in the face of opposition, we can speak the truth. And the truth prevails. Remember Stephen, when they stoned Stephen, they were so irritated at him because everything they tried to do to resist him, they couldn't. Because God gave him such wisdom, amen? And so they finally said, we're just going to kill this guy because we're not getting anywhere with him. And so Jesus said, don't be surprised if the world hates you. They hated me. They'll hate you too. Why? Because your kingdom really is not of this world. Ultimately, we are citizens of heaven, right? Hallelujah. So just like he spoke to his disciples, he's saying to us today, that listen, the world's not going to understand you. Just like I don't understand and I didn't understand Christians when I was in the world because I was under a different owner at that time. I didn't know I was, but I was. I was doing what appeared to be normal to me, later to find out it was abnormal. But we can't know what normal is until you know Jesus, who is the perfect example. Amen. He reveals what it is to be, you know, a perfect man. And so I want to be like Jesus when I grow up. I want to become more and more like him. And isn't that true? If you want to see perfection, if you want to see what we're supposed to be and live like, it's Jesus. He's our prime example. Amen. He lived in this world. He overcame this world and he never sinned. And guys, we know we'll sin at times, but praise God we have an advocate with the Father. Amen. But when you have the Spirit of God in you, your desire has changed now. You want to live for God. Amen. And I know some people will mistreat and abuse the grace of God. They will answer for that. Amen. But I've just decided that I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen. And I don't want to grieve the one I love. It upsets me when I've upset the Lord. Amen. And that's the way it should be, right? For us. So this one world order, one world system, we can see it all coming together. The one world monetary system, you know, and then the pressure to conform and to give up your rights so that you'll bow down to this spirit. And the more that you bow down, the more control it will take over you until eventually it will have control over the populations of the earth, except for the faithful remnant, the faithful few who stand, amen, and say, no, we refuse to bow down to you. But we need to make no mistake about it. Judgment is coming. And people need to listen. They need to listen to the voice of the Lord and repent while they still have opportunity. We need to be careful that we don't refuse him who speaks from heaven. Amen. And so the Lord is speaking. And he's looking for others that will partner with him and be his voice too. You know, there are people that we can influence. There are people that we can reach. I can't reach everybody. You can reach people that I can't, you know, but together we're working with the King. Amen. And wherever we find ourselves, be there. Be on assignment with the Lord. Amen. Pay attention. But this is not a time to be caught up in our own selfish interests and to be worrying about everything. Amen. God doesn't want us worrying about anything. And I tell you, it's not easy sometimes, isn't it? Because you're looking at the things that are happening, and you say, but Jesus said, you don't have to be worried. If he said don't be worried, it means that you don't have to be worried. It means that there is a grace available to us, a peace available to us that passes all understanding. Because if we just go by our understanding, then everything is hopeless. But if we're trusting in the Lord and trusting in his grace and know our God, amen, we know our God can turn things around. Our God can bring us into victory. Hallelujah. And God can even turn things around in America. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm believing for that. And we need to stand in the gap. Amen. Be the salt and the light. And God wants his people awake across this nation. Hallelujah. Because we have a lot of influence. Praise God. Because God is on our side. We have God with us. I wanted to finish with this tonight. It's a little shorter than usual. But Ephesians 5 and verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, wisely, right? Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Yeah, we don't know how much time we have left. So let's make the most of every opportunity. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And you know, there are a lot of Christians that still don't know what the will of the Lord is. And I don't know about you, but I think that should be a priority in our lives. That we should know what God's will is for me. Well, I can give you a simple answer to that. Is that we need to be an expression of God's heart to this world. Amen? In a sense, we want to be Jesus to this world. As we represent him. And we want to bring the world to Jesus. That's our primary mission. Amen? The Great Commission. And but to be sanctified. To be set apart for the Lord, amen? To be prepared as a bride is in preparation for the coming of the bridegroom. And he's coming. He's at the door, and we need to be ready. Because when the Father sends and says, now, son, go get my children, it's going to be the time, amen, that we're going to hope and pray that we were the ones that were awake and watchful, amen, and we weren't caught off guard. Hallelujah. And I do believe that there will be a catching away, a rapture to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. We who are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. I'm not going to get into the eschatologies of when is that going to happen. We just know it's going to happen when the Father says so. And he just said, be ready, right? Be watchful. And so here in conclusion to verse 18, this is so, so very important, isn't it? Do not be drunk with wine. And many are today, you know, alcohol has been flying off the shelves like never before. The alcohol sales, drug sales, now that they legalized pot and everything too, is just skyrocketed through this whole pandemic. And but people are turning to the wrong thing. They don't understand, and we can be the ones to say, listen, well, why are you so peaceful? Why are you, how can you be cheery? Don't you realize what's going on? Oh, you don't know my Jesus, right? Let me introduce you to my best friend. Hallelujah. He's the one that keeps me in peace. He's the one that keeps me sane. Hallelujah. And you can rejoice. And no matter what happens, you know, it's a choice to rejoice. But I find that when I choose to do what pleases the Lord, then he grants me the grace for that to actually be a reality. Maybe you're saying, I'm not really feeling like praising, but that's when you make a sacrifice of praising. Yes. Amen. And it turns into a delight. Hallelujah. Same thing with being obedient to whatever the Lord's telling you to do. If he's telling you to speak a word to somebody, you may not feel like it, but you do what God tells you to do, and then he will back up that word. It'll come through. He may tell you to go to a certain place or to pray for a certain person, whatever. You know, what we obey the voice of God, and he'll meet us in that place of obedience. So we don't need to get drunk on the inferior stuff of the world. I spent enough time in the bottle before, amen? And it never satisfied me. It only made me sick. And but be filled with the hallelujah, the Holy Spirit. Be filled with God's holy presence, hallelujah. And he'll bring joy to your heart. And he will give you an inner peace, inner strength, and the ability to be bold in the face of opposition. Hallelujah. And to live really without worry. You know, it's not about self-help. It's not about meditation and all this stuff or taking pills. It's about getting in the presence and abiding in the presence of God. And that's where you're going to find your peace. Hallelujah. Even in the midst of the storm, God has peace sufficient for us to get us through it all. Hallelujah. And there are times when we get caught off guard. We get hit. We get a curveball. The enemy knows how to get those darts in there. All we need to do is just quickly run to the Lord again. Amen. Hallelujah. And praise his name.